Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
The deal with Aaron Glenn is done. He's the next head coach of the Jets, and now we find out who the GM is going to be. And according to multiple reports, the Jets are going to have second interviews with 2 GM candidates tomorrow. One is Darren Mogey. I'm not sure how you pronounce it. M-O-U-G-E-Y. He is the assistant general manager of the Denver Broncos. And Trey Brown, who's the senior personnel assistant of the Cincinnati Bengals. So those two are getting second interviews. Lance Newmark got the second interview yesterday and has been widely connected to Aaron Glenn. So we'll see. We'll see what the heck the Jets are doing.
All personnel guys. They're not giving second interviews to the cap guys. My guy Mike down in Tampa.
Mike Greenberg.
Mike Greenberg has not gotten a second interview.
I liked him because he grew up locally and as a Jet fan.
He's local, grew up a Jet fan. I think his first job was with the Jets.
Yeah, he was an intern. Yep.
Tannenbaum hired him as an intern here, and he's been with the Buccaneers now for 15 years, and he's got a Super Bowl under his belt, and he helped lure Tom Brady down there and convince that entire Super Bowl team to come back. I mean, the most recent one, to come back on new deals. But I think because the Jets specifically are looking for a personnel guy, like identify the best players at XYB positions and not a cap guy, he's kind of been frozen out.
Interesting.
Which is a shame because he's great at his job.
Yeah. I was drawn in by the fact that he's a local guy who grew up rooting for the Jets.
Right.
You know, see how that works with David Stearns, who grew up rooting for the Mets. But it'll be interesting to see where the Jets go. But Aaron Glenn, head coach, we've talked a lot about it today. If you've missed any of the show, you can always rewind on the Odyssey app. We'll get your calls in a few minutes. We'll rank the preferable Super Bowl matchups coming up here in the 5 o'clock hour. But it is a little bit late, but never too late for a Cinco de Fivo.
Cinco de Fivo with Evan and Tiki on The Fan.
All right, Cinco de Fivo is brought to you by Helix Wireless, connecting everything, everywhere. And by Mercedes-Benz of Morristown. Visit us online at 888thebenz.com. So I had a Cinco all set, ready to go, but fake Sean emailed me, and he's insisting that I, you know, grab him by the hand here and lead him on his own Cinco de Fivo. So the list that was sent to me by fake Sean was the top 5 Aarons in New York sports in honor of Aaron Glenn.
That is
hired.
Very Sean-like.
Yeah.
So Let's go.
Here we go!
Number five.
All right, Fake Sean. Number five on your list is Aaron Glenn. That's right, Loogie. Let me say something to you loser Jet fans. Number one, you're all very ugly. Well, that's not very nice, Fake Sean, considering the fact that you look like an ass that is shaved. I don't think you should be commenting on anybody's appearance. Hold on a second there, skinny jeans. Jet fans are all like Evan. They're losers. They pick their nose and they don't wear deodorant. All right, enough with the shaming here. What do you think about Aaron Glenn? He's number five on this list. Got news for you. He was a mediocre cornerback. He was a so-so defensive coordinator, and he will be fired in a year. Don't be talking about his job. He will be fired in about a year or so. Sorry, Jet fans. Number four.
Number four.
All right, Fake Sean. You have Aaron Boone is number four on your list? Come on, all Yankee fans hate Aaron. Hold on a second. Aaron Boone. Here's why he's number four out in New York sports. Aaron Boone is a big Eagle fan, and Aaron Boone texted me. You know he likes to text hosts here. Aaron Boone texted me and said he went to a lemonade stand with Saquon Barkley, and Saquon Barkley did not tip. You hear that, you hyena Eagle fans? Saquon Barkley doesn't tip little girls and boys at the lemonade stand. That's your hero? Number three.
Number three.
Number three on your list. This one, I'm actually confused on this one. Number three, Fake Sean has on his list Aaron Shesterkin. Fake Sean, there is no Aaron. Aaron Shesterkin, a lot of people don't know this. Igor Shesterkin, Igor is his nickname. His real name is Aaron Shesterkin, a junior. Aaron Shesterkin. And the Rangers, they got another point last night. So the Rangers are going to the Stanley Cup. I think in 1994, they won the Stanley Cup. That's right, Fake Sean. So, well, it's actually now 2025, so you can't do that stupid bit again. So, I guess there's an Aaron Shesterkin out there on the Rangers. That's number three. Here we go for number two.
Number two.
Now, this one also is very, very startling here. You have Aaron Rodgers as number two.
That's right. Number two is Aaron Rodgers. I went with Aaron Rodgers along with Puff the Magic Dragon, the Hana Lee, and we smoked a doobie. And you know what he told me? He said, I love my time in New York. I think I'm going to stay as the Giants' starting quarterback. So Aaron Rodgers will lead the Giants along with Brian Daboll, the greatest head coach since Newt Rockne, and Joe Shane, the greatest general manager since I created a team on Madden for the last 10 years. And the Giants will go back to the playoffs. Number one.
Number one.
All right, number one, you have, for the top five Aarons in New York sports, number one, you have Aaron Judge. Fake Sean? Oh, Fake Sean's line must have dropped.
Mm.
Much like Aaron Judge. So, there you go.
I see what you did there.
I feel like Frank Oz up here, but that's your Cinco de Five-O. And I'm being told
it's my fat ass!
That we misdiagnosed Fake Sean, or Real Sean, yesterday.
Yeah.
He is feeling better, and Real Sean might be back tomorrow.
Is he?
And I don't think Fake Sean's ever going away, but the Real Sean might be back some way, somehow, to
well,
that's what
this.
I was told. Sources, multiple sources.
I'm gonna telegraph this one for all of us. Okay, when Real Sean is back and we're about to throw to him, don't turn his mic or lineup and just have Fake Sean answer. And I think for the first bit of time when he is back, chomping at the bit to say something, we punish him by just continuously hearing from Fake Sean while he's here,
right,
ready to speak.
And he is chomping at the bit here. He's received several text messages about Fake Sean, and I think Sean is feeling a little insecure about his job here.
I mean, Fake Sean was amazing.
Fake Sean's been unbelievable.
I get the sense, if I know Sean the way I know him, nobody's safe when he comes back, meaning he will be attempting a lot of three-pointers, he will be taking a lot of full swings, he will be making fun of everybody and, you know, poking fun at everybody.
Lesson, don't get sick.
That's it, man. Or if you get sick, just do the show anyway. I must say, we've done Cinco de Five-O's every day, every show we've ever done, sometimes a little bit later, but we've always done Cinco de Five-O's for many years now, however long this show has been on.
Yeah.
That's a top five Cinco.
No doubt. That was one of the best I've heard.
Yeah, completely.
I'm starting to buy into the generational talent thing.
Yeah, me too.
That was impressive.
That is Fake Sean, by the way. And I said this to Sean off air. I go, Fake Sean actually got both you and I replaced. Because as people are pointing out, that Fake Sean is actually better than Loogie.
Fake Sean is stealing airtime from Loogie, too.
In fact, I would not be surprised at some point here that Fake Sean and Bad Tiki take over for me and Sean, and you'll be looking at both of them. Well, we'll hear from Bad Tiki tomorrow.
That is true. I wonder if Bad Tiki will say anything about Fake Sean. I have no idea. He's got his own agenda.
He does.
We do not control him.
We do not.
I can tell you that. Now, let's get to some of your calls. And then coming up in just a few minutes, we are going to rank the preferable Super Bowl matchups as we get closer to Championship Sunday. But right now, let's go to Annabelle, who's calling from Bridgeport, Connecticut. How are you, Annabelle?
Hey, I'm doing great. How are you guys doing?
We're good, man. What's up?
Good.
Okay, good good show, Evan, Tiki. Tiki, in my heart, you are a Hall of Famer. And I want you to hear my point from here on.
Go ahead.
Okay, the situation with Pete Alonso, Scott Boras is terrible agent. in a way that he got the contract to other people, but let me tell you one thing. Pete Alonso has made his own bed, and Scott Boras going to help him with the blankets, because let me tell you, he's going to end up with a cheap contract.
Pete Alonso, and I firmly believe this now, Pete Alonso has to save this. This is about him now.
It's the only way it's going to happen.
He's got to save, because, look, coming into this offseason, if you would have told me the Mets offered Pete Alonso a three-year, what was the, $68 million?
Yeah.
I'm trying to remember what the exact figure was.
Yeah, that was it, because we were speculating $90, and I remember it was a lot less than what they said, so... Less than 70.
3 years, 68. If you would have told me that before the offseason began, I would have said, that is a horrible offer. That's embarrassing. Mm-hmm. Mets aren't serious. Well, here's why I got to take that back. There's no market for Pete Alonso.
No.
So the Mets, as much as we want them to just spend and spend, you can't do it foolishly. Like, the reason they gave Juan Soto $765 is they needed to. They needed to give him every one of those dimes.
Right, because the Yankees were offering that.
Yes.
The Blue Jays were apparently offering him that. I don't think the Dodgers ever got that high.
No.
But I'm sure they were somewhere way above what they normally would have thought.
They had to bid that to get him.
They had to, because there was too many suitors.
Right. So in the case of Pete Alonso, as of right now, there aren't a lot of suitors. So the Mets made an offer that, sure, a few months ago, it would have been like, that's nuts.
Mm-hmm.
That's the best offer he's gotten. And so what I'm afraid of, and I think this is the likeliest scenario, and it makes me sick, is that Pete Alonso is going to end up waiting too long. The Mets, who've already made moves, not moves to take them out of Pete Alonso, but they've made moves,
right,
are going to eventually say, yeah, now we're really done.
Yeah.
And Pete's going to be stuck getting a worse contract, going to a worse situation. And the Mets aren't going to be better off either,
right,
because internal options are risky.
Right.
Who knows if they'll be better off? The odds are they're not. And I think we're going to sit here in May and say, wow, they both are not better off.
Right, and it's funny, because when you look at that number, which was 22 plus per year or so, it's still top five in baseball for first baseman.
It's also the same average annual salary offer that they made a few years
ago. It's more than Matt Olson's making with Atlanta for the next 8 years. And Matt Olson, most people would say, is probably better. He's younger than Pete Alonso. The top of the list right now is Vlad Guerrero, but that's an arbitration number.
Yeah.
So it doesn't even matter. Freddie Freeman's at 27. That's the one you would look at, because there's 6 years left on that deal. But he's not Freddie Freeman.
No.
And so, at least not past production-wise, and probably future production-wise, because Freddie Freeman is ageless somehow at 32 years old. He feels like whenever there's clutch moments, he comes through. Pete did against in the playoffs this season, but it's like, what's his value? Like,
well,
his value is not what Scott Boras thinks it is, which is the next highest of the guys in line, which would be close to 30. It's probably right where the Mets offer.
He should take the offer. I say that, and I think the only way to get this thing done right now is Pete Alonso on his own has to reach out to Steve Cohen and say, hey, look, I think I took some bad advice.
Right.
I think he's got to admit that. I think I took some bad advice. Let's get this done.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think what is so frustrating as a Met fan, instead of saying it's your fault or this guy's fault or that guy's fault, is you're watching a breakup and you're realizing no one's better off from the breakup.
No.
The Mets aren't better off, and certainly Pete's not better off. Now, look, do the Mets have a chance even if they lose Pete Alonso, to be just fine. Sure, Brett Beatty becomes a star. Vientos builds off last year. And, yes, everybody's happy. I'm not that confident in that.
No.
I'm not that confident in a small thing. Like, Pete Alonso's defense at first base has gotten a lot better. John Boy did a great video the other day about Pete's scooping, which, you know, we've noticed for a while now if you're a Met fan. But what John Boy exposed, and I thought this was really well done by him, is that the Mets throw more kind of bounces to first base than any team in baseball. They actually use it to their advantage, and Pete is brilliant at it.
Right.
Basically scoops everything. Something small like that with Mark Vientos, that may not happen.
Right.
Well, and that's a small thing that they will be downgrading themselves defensively at first base.
Unless it's really coached that way, and Pete Alonso's become good at it because they've coached it from both sides.
From the
infield position players, but also for the first baseman.
Right, but that doesn't mean that even with coaching, Mark Vientos is going to be great at it right away.
Well, Pete wasn't great at it right away.
You're right.
He's gotten great at it.
Well, that's experience.
He's gotten better at it.
He's gotten better at it.
Right.
That's experience. And right now, Mark Vientos, when he goes over to first base, doesn't have that much experience at it. Let's go to Rob in Westchester. Hey, Rob.
Hey, guys. You know, I wanted to call up and talk about stuff with Pete, but I gotta stop what I'm doing and discuss what Evan said to Lugie about 20 minutes ago regarding the Yankees having a better World Series than the Mets. Evan, I don't know what's gotten into some of your takes, man. I don't know if you're trying to play both sides. Like, it's starting to get, and I'm going to use the word, soft as a female dog, man. Like, where are you getting from that? Where do you get? It's really
here's
good,
the reality.
Man.
Like, here's the reality. Here's
how
the reality.
The reality?
If you...
I'm
going to give you my opinion. You don't have to like it. That's totally fine. The New York Mets lost a 6-game series. Yankees lost a 5-game series. Completely get that. I didn't believe the Mets could win any of the games they lost. I think they got their ass kicked in basically every game, while the Yankees blew game one and they blew game five. So even though the series, and you're a Met fan, Rob, because I'm going to give you a comparison. I think that's going to help in this, actually.
I'm a no-life Met fan, but keep going.
Okay. Yep. 2000 World Series, we did not get our ass kicked. The Mets lost every game they could have freaking won against the Yankees.
Right.
Whether it's game one, whether it's Jeter's first pitch against Bobby Jones, whether it's the disaster in game five. I think the 2000 World Series was an incredibly close 5-game series. That's what I think the Yankees had against the Dodgers. You don't see that?
I see in recent memory, Evan, a team going down 3-0, whether they lost close or not, it's their own fault. They choked in games. They had terrible fielding in some of those games.
All right. I'll give you another one. I'm going to give you Met history because I want to use the Mets to make you see where I'm coming from. In 1999, the Mets went down 3-0 to the Braves. Every game was close. Basically, Brian Jordan and Chipper Jones and Eduardo Perez were you-know-whatting us. They come back. They win an amazing game 6 in 15 innings. Robin Ventura, they won game 4 before that. And obviously, they lose a brutal game 6. It was a very close series despite going down 3-0. I think even though the Yankees didn't take it to 6, it was the same thing. It was a very close competitive series. While our series, I think we got our ass kicked in every game we lost.
That's fine, but you know what the Yankees do when they're about to lose, and the Mets do it too. They save their starting pitchers, right? They go, okay, this game's over, and we forfeit the game. A loss is a loss at the end of the day. That's my whole thing.
Rob, I totally understand, but don't take this as I'm soft, I'm self-hating the Mets. I'm being honest. Like, when the Mets lost in 2000...
It is a fair take.
My take?
Yeah, absolutely.
Thank you.
Because the Yankees left that World Series saying, we lost because of ourselves.
Yeah.
Right? Game 5, we all know what happened with the Judge drop and everything that resulted from that. Game 1, we put it on Boone. Why the hell are you even thinking about putting Nestor Cortez in this game? Especially if you're watching him warm up. Or actually have someone else warming up next to him in case he's not ready. If you have any doubt, there is no doubt, right? He's not ready. And they blew game one, lost game 2 and 3 because that's just the Dodgers, right? In game 4, which one were we at? 4?
We were at 3, 4, 5.
3, 4, 5, yeah. I don't remember 4 because I left.
Yeah, I think you left for that one.
Right,
yes.
But 5, we all know what happened. They had a chance to win the game, and they let it slide away.
Two of the five...
They could have won and should have won.
And even game two.
And Yankee fans are saying we should have won those games. Not like, oh, the Dodgers are so much better. They just beat us.
The Mets got bludgeoned by the Dodgers.
Yes.
Like, there's a difference. The Yankees' losses were 6-3-10 on a walk-off grand slam in which the Yankees were an out away from winning.
Mm-hmm.
They lost game 2 4-2. And remember, they had guys on base at the end.
Right.
They lost game 3 4-2. They blew game 5 and they lost 7-6. So, again, be honest. And for Met fans, if you don't understand that and you take that as hatred, 2015 World Series, 2000 World Series. Those are two World Series the Mets lost in five, in which to this day I am pissed off because I know they should have won that series.
Mm-hmm.
They blew those series.
Yeah.
Well, whether it's in five or whatever, they could have won that series.
Could have won that series.
That's all I'm saying.
Right, could have. The Dodgers, the Mets could not have won that series.
Exactly.
Against the Dodgers.
In fact, in my lifetime, okay, of all the playoff losses the Mets have had, and it's funny because they're not in the playoffs a lot, so it's kind of easy to count. Mm-hmm. I already described how they lost in 99 to Atlanta.
Yep.
I described how they lost the 2000 series. They obviously lost game 7 in 06 in a seventh game. I already described the 2015 World Series. Then you got a one-game playoff in 2016, a best of three in 2022, and obviously losing to the Dodgers. All of those other series I have regrets about. I said this on the Rico, where I can talk myself into how the Mets should have won the series. I cannot talk myself into the Mets beating the Dodgers last year. They got smoked.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if we're just being honest with ourselves, they got smoked. They got smoked. Game one was non-competitive. Right. Non-competitive.
Right.
Games three and four were non-competitive at Citi Field. And then the deciding game was non-competitive. The two games we won, the bullpen days, I don't throw it back because, actually, it wasn't both bullpen days. It was a bullpen day, and it was Jack Flaherty. They beat up Jack Flaherty in game five. I don't throw it back, but the Mets did not come close to winning that series. Just because you lose in five like the Yankees did or like the Mets did in 2000 and 2015 doesn't mean you were bludgeoned. So I apologize that I hurt the feelings of a fellow Met fan, but if you actually give it critical thinking, you know I'm right. I don't mean to be a jerk about it. Like, I'm a Met fan. Why would I have an opinion just to make you feel bad? I'm just honest. I call like it is. I'm an umpire. That's right. I'm an umpire. Did you see what Danny Hurley did last night?
No. What did he do?
He yelled at a referee and said, "Don't turn your back on me. I'm the best bleeping coach in the world." That is badass.
That is badass.
He's getting a lot of criticism for being arrogant.
But he can be.
Yeah, I agree.
That's awesome.
I thought it was freaking awesome. I got to tell you, he's getting a lot of crap for that. And I'm like, that's awesome. He berated a referee by saying,
was he right? That's the
on the actual call?
Yeah, like, was he right to be berating the ref?
I don't know, but I
because that matters. Like,
yeah.
He's dead ass wrong, and he's just berating him for just because he's the best coach in the world.
Yeah,
it's all right. Come on, stop being an ass. But if he's right, I think that's awesome.
If Patrick Mahomes doesn't get a call on Sunday, and he looks at the official and he's like, "I'm Patrick Mahomes. I'm the GOAT, bitches.
I'm the best there is."
Players can't do it.
Oh, players can't do it.
Players can't do it.
No,
players can't.
It's got to be a coach,
except for Michael Jordan.
I apologize. I'm distracted by something I don't want to bring up on the air to Tiki because we'll go down a rabbit hole, but it has to do with aliens. It has to do with extraterrestrial life.
What?
Nah, I didn't have a chance to read it yet. I got a DM from one of our listeners because I have open DMs. I'm always open to interesting conversations, and it's basically about how the government's been covering up, quote, non-human intelligent life. And it's a whole video that I'm going to watch.
But
Tiki's walking through the door. Please, let's not talk about this.
Okay, I'll DM you.
DM me later. I'll tell Tiki about it after I watch the video, but we can't bring it up ahead of time.
I agree.
Hi, Tiki!
What video are you talking about?
Nothing! we're just hanging. We're talking sports. Oh, it's a video about the Jets. Aaron Glenn.
Sure.
He's going to be a hell of a head coach. I can't wait. So on Sunday is Championship Sunday. I can't wait. And so I wrote this down. Let's play a game. It's called What We Prefer to See the Super Bowl Be. All right? So let's do that.
And the road to New Orleans on the Fan is sponsored by Bet365.
So, Tommy, there are four teams left. Do you know how many different Super Bowl matchups are still possible?
Yes. Eight.
Well, no, that's
not higher or lower. Help me out, please. I would say four.
Four. There you go.
Got it on the second try, baby. Hall of Fame.
So, I'm going to give you my preferable Super Bowl matchup.
Yep.
You give me yours, and we'll go right down the list.
Got it.
And this has nothing to do with gambling, okay? Because I have not made any... I mean, I have made bets, but it's more like emotional insurance for teams I dislike. If you ask me, all right, Evan, you can get any Super Bowl you want, I would like to see the Kansas City Chiefs against the Washington Commanders.
Same.
That's your number
one? That's number one.
Really?
Yeah, that's number one for me.
I'm surprised because I thought, A, you were sick of Mahomes, and B, I thought the Commanders still kind of bother you because, you know, the history.
Well, I started. So, you know what this always comes down to? Like, what guy do I like best? Like, what player do I like best?
Right.
And I love Jaden Daniels.
He's fun to watch.
He's just fun to watch. My aunt, my mom's sister has a marketing deal with him for this hospital down in D.C. and said he's an unbelievable kid. His mom is awesome as well.
Mm-hmm.
And so I want Jaden Daniels to be successful. And so...
Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 45% off select styles and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 45% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing digital deals for members. Coca-Cola, 7-Up, Dr. Pepper, and Polar Seltzer, selected varieties and sizes, buy two and get three free of equal or lesser value plus CRV. Limit 3 free items. USDA Choice Bone-In Ribeye Steak, $7.97 per pound. Limit 2 packages. Creamy Hass Avocados, 77 cents each. Limit 4 items. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
It doesn't matter who I would have picked. I want whoever I want to win the Super Bowl
but
to beat the Chiefs.
I gotcha. I gotcha.
So that's the only reason I want the Chiefs in there. Now, interestingly...
Yeah.
It would be, it would be Bills-Eagles.
Bills-Eagles. Oh, God. Oh, my God.
And it's so non-traditional. Because it's so non-traditional.
Yeah, it'd be unique.
Think about it. Like, yeah. It just doesn't, like, it doesn't feel like it was a possibility.
Yeah.
Right? So, to me, it's just because it's chaos. So, then I go to chaos. Who do I want to win most of all? And then what's chaos?
That's
how I got the number 2.
That's funny to go to the complete opposite because to me, number 1 was very easy. I mm-hmm. don't like the Philadelphia Eagles. I don't like the Buffalo Bills.
Right.
So it's like, all right, it's easy which two teams I prefer. It was very difficult for me to decide between the other two. And this may surprise you. My number 2 is Kansas City against Philadelphia. I would actually take the Eagles going to the Super Bowl because...
That's the last for me.
Last for you?
Yeah.
The reason I put it too is, to me, I've decided I hate the Bills more than I hate the Eagles. I can't stand either team.
You hate the Bills more than you hate them.
Yeah.
Okay, I got it.
Because, like, to the credit of Nick Sirianni, I have to give him credit. Nick Sirianni never, my understanding, he has never told his team that they should communicate like 9/11 terrorists.
Yes.
That is true story. I don't know if you guys know that. Sirianni's never done that. So for that, Nick, I really respect you. Because Sean McDermott has.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just letting you know. So to me, it's Kansas City, Philadelphia, number 2. Your number 2 is Buffalo, Philadelphia.
Yep.
What's your number?
Because it's just completely random.
I got you. What's your number 3?
Well, number 4 is Chiefs, Eagles.
Oh, Chiefs, Eagles is your last one.
My last one. So Bills, Commanders.
Bills, Commanders.
Number 3.
Yeah, I guess that's mine. That's my number 3 too.
Yeah.
We've met in the middle because at that point, now the Chiefs are gone because I've used them twice. So it's Buffalo, Washington, or Buffalo, Philadelphia. And I would go Buffalo, Washington over Buffalo. Buffalo, Philadelphia is my least favorite matchup. In fact, I will be perfectly honest with you. A few weeks ago, actually it was before the playoffs started, I took out what I like to call emotional insurance.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like Buffalo and Philadelphia. And so I parlayed the Bills winning the AFC and the Eagles winning NFC.
Really?
Yes, I did.
Well, that's number two on my list. You know, one, because it's random, but it's also the two best running teams.
Yeah, you're right about that.
So that could be fun.
That could be fun. It could be fun for me. I'd make a lot of money.
Yeah, you definitely would. What was the number?
And that was the other decision I have to make. I could cash out right now and just call it in.
How long ago did you do it?
At the beginning of the playoffs. So it wasn't anything crazy.
Right.
Like, they were both considered. I mean, the Chiefs are obviously, not the Chiefs. The Buffalo Bills were number two.
Mm-hmm.
Philadelphia was number two. So I took two of the favorite-ists kind of teams.
It's not like you took the Buccaneers and somebody else. It was
right. So it's not that crazy, but I have thought about a buyout, which I could accept right now and do very well. I'll have to log into my FanDuel account and see what the buyout is. But that is the Super Bowl I want to see the least. And, look, as far as the ratings are concerned, like TV ratings, I think the Chiefs against anybody is number one because I think people want to see Pat Mahomes.
Yeah,
I'm sure there's still a Taylor Swift factor.
Well,
but more than anything, it's the fact they're a dynasty.
They're trying
to do something that's never been done before.
Right. What was the stat that I saw? Something about the Chiefs. They can be the first team to reach five Super Bowls in a six-year span. These are the notes that come out from CBS Research. Right before every game, I still get them. They can be the first team ever to reach a Super Bowl after winning back-to-back Super Bowl,
Yeah, they'd be the first team going for a three-peat to get to the Super Bowl. There have been three other teams that got the championship games. They've all obviously lost. Most recently, the Dallas Cowboys against the San Francisco 49ers in 1994.
Right, but there've been a bunch of teams that have gotten to three straight Super Bowls.
Right.
But they didn't win the first two.
Correct.
The Bills are one. The 71 through 73 Dolphins, and then New England back from 2016 to 2018.
Yeah, it's recent, too, with them, which is crazy.
But they didn't win two in a row.
They won the first, they lost the second to the Eagles, then they won the third against the Rams.
Yes.
But being a team in the Super Bowl, if you're the Chiefs, I mean, right there you're making history because you're going for the three-peat.
Mm-hmm.
The closest we've ever seen is a team losing the championship game.
Right.
So I bet $50 to win $750. They're offering me a buyout of $200 right now. Do I take it?
Man, no.
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 Here's what I'm going to do. I think as much as I want to be wrong about this.
I wonder if that buyout, as we get to like Friday.
Changes?
Yeah, it goes to like $350.
Well, I think what I may do is let the Eagle Commander game is first. Let it ride. I think the Eagles are probably going to win. I hope I'm wrong about that. We'll make our picks on Friday. If the Eagles win, I think at that point, I bet the Chiefs to offset, and there I win either way, basically.
Yeah.
Isn't that what it was? That hedging?
So basically, you need the Eagles to win.
Yes, if the Eagles win,
you're going to make some money.
I'm going to make some money, but I don't want the money. Like, that's the thing. It's just emotional hedging.
Right.
I don't want the money. I'm willing to make a $50 donation to being happy. I don't like the Eagles. I don't want them to win. But then the other part of me.
Gambling problem.
The other part of me that stretches here is I kind of want to see Sean having to deal with the Eagles in the Super Bowl.
Mm.
Like, he's going to rationalize. Can you give us a preview, Fake Sean, on what that week will be like with the Eagles and Saquon Barkley getting ready for a Super Bowl?
Absolutely. Let me just go get him right now. Yeah. Hey, Fake Sean, we need you real quick. Okay, here's the bottom line. Remember, Eagle fans, get it through your thick, low-educated brains. You were in the Super Bowl a couple of years ago with Miles Sanders, and you lost. You've been there before. You better get it done. In fact, Saquon Barkley, he only hit a couple of home runs in the other game. Is he going to be able to get the tough yards against the Chiefs? Don't think so. That's just a little quick little
The best
snippet.
Part of Fake Sean, and you could appreciate this if you're watching on SNY. Hello, SNY. Is the way Loogie changes and contorts his body to become Sean?
Well, because I'm glad you brought that up. Obviously, radio, theater of the mind, people don't see it with Sean. Sean will do sometimes when he really wants to hammer home a point and he'll really dig in against Evan. Don't you realize it?
Yeah.
And that's why I contort the body there to sort of get into the character of it. Which the funny thing, too, is that I'm still in a mute off with Sean. So I don't see any of his tweets.
Oh, really?
Sean is more just off the top of my brain here than actually taking his take. So if they're matching some of the stuff he's been tweeting out, then great. But I still have a mute off with Sean going.
By the way, Loogie,
because it's annoying.
Not fake. No, I get you.
Oh.
Loogie, not fake Sean. Quickly, rank your Super Bowl preferences.
You don't want fake Sean's. Okay. So Loogie's is Chiefs-Eagles number one.
Really?
I love the sexiness of the matchup. I love the idea of the Eagles getting to the Super Bowl and losing. So I'm willing to risk that to get them to the Super Bowl. I just think it's the sexiest matchup. I love it. Number two, I'm going to go Chiefs Commanders. I just want the Chiefs in the Super Bowl. Three, Bills Eagles. Four, Bills Commanders.
Interesting. Mm. So you're not the anti-Eagles. That's the sense
It's not
I
even that I'm
you.
Anti-Eagles. I don't want them winning the Super Bowl, but I like the idea of having Sean squirm for 2 weeks.
Right.
And then ultimately, just when you think he's going to lose, he has the comeback, he wins, and we could all dump on Eagle fans together.
So to me, like taking my fandom aside, I think Chiefs Commanders is the most appealing Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll tell you why, not just for me. Because A, you got the Chiefs. I mean, that is appealing. We just have to admit it. They're a dynasty. And the chance of them winning a third straight championship is historic. Like we said, it's never been done.
Never been done.
And they would be the first team even in the Super Bowl. It's Pat Mahomes. It's Taylor Swift, if you want to throw that in, fine.
This could be Pat Mahomes going to his fifth Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Which has only been done two other times
Incredible.
For a quarterback.
Incredible.
Tom Brady, obviously. And I kind of forgot this. John Elway is the other one.
Yeah, because he lost a bunch at the beginning of his career. We forget about that. He was a big loser before he was a winner. And I think the Commanders, for this reason, Jaden Daniels would be the first rookie quarterback ever.
Well, it's also, we're in this game right now of replacing the icon. So Tom Brady retires. Can anybody match the GOAT of GOATs who won all these Super Bowls? Well, right on his heels comes Pat Mahomes.
Right.
Right, who just keeps going to Super Bowls. There's been a four. He's won three of them. So if he gets to a third, it's all of a sudden like, all right, maybe we got to, A rival, not now, but when his career is done, for the GOAT.
No doubt. You know what the GOAT has over Pat, though? I hate to say this because I want Mahomes to pass him.
What's that?
The GOAT didn't lose to him. The GOAT beat him in the Super Bowl. And yes, an offsides penalty was the reason why, but the GOAT beat him in the AFC title game.
Still, it is what it is.
No, I get you.
You're right.
But they did cross over. Like, sometimes these legends don't cross over. Like, Joe Montana didn't cross over with Tom Brady.
Right.
Michael Jordan and LeBron James didn't really cross over. So this would be an actual crossover.
And,
but
and so what we also get, this is Chiefs Commanders, to back up your point, is that maybe Jaden Daniels is the next coming.
Exactly.
And
Jalen Hurts is not. With all due respect.
No, he's a very good quarterback.
Very fine.
Right. I put him over anytime you can because he's so good as a winner.
Yeah.
And he's been that way basically his whole life because he was that way in high school. Clearly, he was that way at Alabama, taking him to the college football playoff as a freshman, seeding to Tua and winning the championship, but whatever. But Jaden Daniels, as Ian Eagle told us yesterday, had probably the greatest rookie quarterback season ever.
Yeah.
Ever.
And if he gets to the Super Bowl, that's the exclamation point.
100%.
And I think it's the ultimate favorite, the Chiefs, the dynasty versus the ultimate underdog. I mean, the Commanders have been
The Commanders,
a forgotten about organization. The ownership change, the team name changes. Goodbye, SNY. Stay tuned for Baseball Night in New York, presented by Tri-State Cadillac, next on SNY. So it's like the ultimate. Like,
yeah, I agree with you.
I think that's the most appealing. So it's not just me as that's what I prefer. I honestly think that would be the most appealing Super Bowl if we're lucky enough to get it.
And the Road to New Orleans on the Fan is sponsored by Bet365. Whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Let's go to Dante in East Brunswick. Hey, Dante.
What's up, Dante?
Hey, guys. How we doing?
All good.
We're talking about Aaron Glenn earlier.
Yeah.
And whether he's going to be a good coach or not, I don't. The way the Jets are going to turn around is by starting to dominate the NFL draft. And you said something about the Lions earlier in the show. You said the Lions were the Lions until they weren't. And I'm going to throw some names at you. Mm. If you look at it, Amon-Ra St. Brown, Jameson Williams, Sam LaPorta, Jahmyr Gibbs, Brian Branch, Kirby Joseph, Jack Campbell, Aiden Hutchinson. Last three drafts, that's who they added.
You're right.
So it's no secret. The way you get better, it's not really, I mean, obviously coaching, but Ben Johnson, Aaron Glenn, and Dan Campbell.
There is one difference to that. Right. You're 1,000% right about the Lions.
It's Brad Holmes. He's done a great job.
Absolutely, and you're right about that, but the Jets have talent. And I think what's been frustrating is that, in my opinion, as a fan, they've underachieved for years now. And so, yes, they need to draft well. I'm certainly not excluding that. Mm-hmm. And you mentioned the quarterback position and getting that right eventually. But I would look at that roster right now and say they have a left tackle, I think, for the next few years in Olufashinu. They have some pretty damn good running backs.
100%.
They have an elite corner who had a year in which he came backwards. They've got players. They need to be coached better. Like, I really believe the Jets' failures over the last 3 years has been more about coaching than it's been anything else.
I think you're right about that because, they have talent that's kind of achieving in spite of the bad coaching.
Yeah.
You know, and it's I hate saying that because it makes it feel like it's not a collaborative team effort, but it, that's what it feels like.
I agree. Jesse in Farmingdale. Good afternoon, Jesse.
How's it going, guys?
Oh, all's good. What's up, dude?
Good. What's up?
Big fan of the show. Big fan of the Rico Evan.
Appreciate it.
I just wanted to share my thoughts on the Pete Alonso situation.
Yes.
I think he's going to have to swallow his pride, you know, try to, you know, like you said, reach out to Steve Cohen, see if there's anything he can do. But I think that Morris might have, you know, burned some bridges there. And I wanted to touch on the thing you had mentioned about John Boy's piece with the dirt balls for Alonso and the snagging.
Yeah.
I feel like, you know, I feel like that's putting a lot of pressure on, let's say if Alonso was to leave, I feel like that's going to put a lot of pressure on Vientos to not only, you know, overcome that sophomore slump, which he could potentially be dealing with, but then also to, you know, still provide that snagging level, you know, to provide that that security.
I agree. I think it puts a lot of pressure on Mark Vientos, a ton. He had a great year last year. He finally busted through.
Mm-hmm.
The Mets didn't even give him an opportunity. He had to take that opportunity.
Yeah, because they wanted Brett Beatty to be that guy.
Yeah, and they didn't even give Vientos a chance to DH when J.D. Mm-hmm. Martinez wasn't ready to start the year. And if you recall, it's one of my finest songs, one of my finest AI songs. I'm not sure if you could find it in the archives, Connor. It's a tough one. It's a deep track. But Mark Vientos came up very briefly. Hit a game-winning home run, and I wrote a song called You Can't Send Vientos to the Minors. It was a real song that we had, and unfortunately, the Mets did. They sent him back down, and then eventually they brought him back, and despite all of that, he finally busted through and had this incredible year, and think about what he did in the postseason. I mean, that home run against the Phillies in game two, I know they didn't win the game, still gives me goosebumps. Goose pimples, if you will.
Right.
What's the matter, Tommy? You look very upset.
I'm being told here by Connor that you are requesting a AI song about Mark Vientos. I have no recollection of this song.
No, I didn't request it. I said I don't know if you could find it. It's a deep cut. I already gave
you
the excuse.
Is this it right here, or is this a different one?
Oh, please. Vientos to the liners, smashing balls like it's tomatoes, flyers. In the big leagues, he belongs. With every hit, he proves us.
You have to admit, that's a great song.
Nah, that one kind of sucked.
Do we have to admit? What if we don't want to?
You can't send Vientos to the minor. You had a bunch of kids singing that song.
That's why it sucked.
All the kids singing?
They needed to be more grown up.
Okay. I'll work on changing that. Actually, I can't change that because not sending Vientos to the minor is a very outdated song.
Yes.
But it shows you that we were ahead of the curve. I mean, we were writing music about Mark Vientos not going down to the minor leagues.
But that did not make our air.
Really?
Are you sure about that? I don't think we played that.
I don't remember that one, and I would
have remembered
how bad it was.
I would have remembered it.
You're telling me that was such a deep cut that it never actually made the air?
There are several AI songs that are like a director's cut that have never seen the light of day on The Fan. They've only... My ears are the only ones.
I do like a very special...
director.
What are you, Casey Kasem? You want to run that?
I do like a special...
It's like the B-side of an album. You have to release that separately.
Do it at Amazing Day this Saturday with the Rico there.
Just corner. Release all the songs. Say,
release them all on the Rico.
Imagine that. We wrote some classics. I guess the point to that whole thing was that, yes, there'd be a lt of pressure on Mark Vientos. If Pete Alonso doesn't come back.
Hey, it's Mark Schlereth of the Sinking Truth Podcast. The NFL playoffs are here, and I'll be breaking down every matchup as we get toward the big game. Join my co-host Mike Evans and I on the Sinking Truth Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.